If you happen to watch a lot of late-night television, you might have noticed ads promoting an exotic farm animal.
I love alpacas because raising alpacas gave me an opportunity to walk away from a 30-year corporate career and all the stresses and pressures that were associated with that career.
To get the full story, visit an alpaca farmer.
The ads show bucolic scenes with soft, furry, llama-type animals being led around on leashes. The ads aren't promoting alpacas as pets, but rather as the world's finest livestock investment. As Deirdre Kennedy reports, the claims may be a little misleading.
At a small ranch northwest of Los Angeles, Tina Malkus talks to one of her alpacas.
Hello, Chablis. Hello. Give me a kissy. Come on.
She's the one who meets me at the fence in the morning, and she's got to tap her lips against my chin, and then it's the start of the day.
Chablis is an apricot-colored alpaca with a round, furry head, big brown eyes, and buttery soft fleece. She's one of about 50 that Malkus calls by name. Malkus and her husband moved out of the suburbs to breed alpacas after seeing an ad in Martha Stewart Living.
For me, it was life-changing. The first ranch visit I went on, I stood there and it hit me at the core. Oh my God, I could spend my days doing this and I could love it and I could pour my energy and my creativity into it and I could make a serious go.
Malkus is banking on a projected demand for alpaca fleece, a very expensive textile like cashmere used in high-fashion clothing. She's not the only one. Thousands of hopeful farmers are buying up alpacas and driving up the value of the animals like real estate. Stud males can now sell for as much as $750,000. UC Davis agricultural economist Richard Sexton says the market is driven by well-intentioned euphoria with no basis in reality.
If the alpaca fiber market really took off from Tommy Hilfiger and whatever other designers you have in mind, it would be pretty easy for that industry, not only in Peru, but Chile, Ecuador, Argentina, to expand very rapidly and be more efficient in the sense of being less cost than the U.S. can ever hope to be.
Get-rich-quick agricultural schemes are nothing new in the U.S. In the 1800s, southern farmers tried to launch a silkworm industry, only to find they couldn't compete with China and Italy. Then there was the chinchilla craze in the 1960s, and more recently, ostriches. Diana Westmoreland is vice president of the American Ostrich Association and has her own ostrich farm near Houston, Texas. She says 10 years ago, hundreds of people were moving to Arizona and Texas just to breed ostriches.
Eggs were selling for $1,000. Baby birds were selling for several thousand dollars. I had someone offer me $100,000 for a breeder pair. I know somebody who sold a hen for $100,000 back in the middle to late 90s.
These days, you can buy a full-grown ostrich for less than $300. Many ostrich farmers lost their shirts when the prices crashed. But the few like Westmoreland who hung in there were finally able to make a small living once a market for ostrich meat and hide took off. Economist Richard Sexton says there still may be a narrow window of opportunity for alpaca investors to make out. He compares it to the stock market.
You could have bought into a NASDAQ index fund, for example, at 4,000 points a number of years ago and made a lot of money because the NASDAQ went up to 5,000 before it crashed. So how long it lasts is hard to predict.
But alpaca farmers don't seem too bothered about the predictions. They say for now, they're having fun. For NPR News, I'm Deirdre Kennedy.